Before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to say thank you to our sponsor, Bella Rose. Bella Rose is a small skincare brand, and they make amazing stuff. I use their facial serum, but they also have shampoo, conditioner, body butter, which I have ordered, and it's on the way. Also, they have an amazing rose petal bath bomb, which I've used, and oh my god, it smells so nice. So if you're interested, you can actually use the link in these show notes to get started, and you'll get 10% off your first order. Or you can go to bellarose.com and use code WELCOME10 to get started. That's BELLAHROZE.com, and then use code WELCOME10 to get 10% off your order. And honestly, guys, you are gonna love their products. Like, seriously, I'm not even joking. I use their stuff, and it's amazing. Welcome back to All Things Apple, the podcast where we talk about all things inside the world of Apple. Today, I'm here with my friend Aiden Mann, who I did an episode with about the Apple event back in March, and he's back so that we can talk about WWDC 2022. How are you doing, Aiden?
I'm doing great.
That's good. I'm just going to look at the website, and we're going to go through each thing as it's listed and just like talk about. And I'll give like a brief overview of each thing from the event. I didn't want to say product or like operating system because it wasn't just software. But first, we're going to start with the MacBook Air because I absolutely love this new MacBook Air. Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I kind of briefly, I saw that it has the notch, the Apple's favorite design choice.
I love it.
The colors are okay. They would have been, they're not like my personal preference, but I do think that the midnight one looks nice and sleek. And it's nice that it comes with MagSafe, because MagSafe is always good.
Yeah.
And the stereo speaker system. I'm curious to see what that actually like sounds like in person.
Yeah, I am too. Like, I went to the Apple store literally the day of the event, and it makes me so mad that they didn't have it there. I mean, it makes sense that they wouldn't have it the day that it comes out, but just thinking that I was there literally the day that they announced this, I just wish that I came, like, a day or two after, because I was, like, messing around with the 24-inch iMac, and, okay, I think it's kind of ugly, but also kind of cool looking, but this looks... This, I think I like this design much more than the 24-inch iMac, because at first there were leaks of a MacBook that looked like this but had white bezels, and I was dying looking at that because I think white bezels are ugly. The 24-inch iMac kind of makes it work, but at the same time, I would love it if they were black.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Like, here's the thing with the 24-inch iMac. It looks kind of weird. Like, it looks odd. It doesn't look like...
It kind of looks like a Mac from, like, 10 years ago, if we were able to make computer chips that small to, like, fit in that design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's ugly. But, okay, back to the MacBook Air, because that actually came out today. Or not today. Monday. Okay, just looking at the colors, I'm so sad they got rolled. And they gave us Starlight, because... Starlight confuses me because it's not quite gold, but it's not quite silver. And I really liked the gold of the last MacBook Air. I thought it was really, really pretty. And this just looks like a really pale gold, which I'm not really into. I don't know.
Me neither. I have a gold MacBook Air M1. And it looks, I love the look of it. One thing I'm also kind of sad to see with the new MacBook Air is the tapered design. Because that is very, like, it makes it a lot, when it's tapered, it makes it a lot comfortable to type, because it's like, the keyboard is slightly on an incline, is on a slight incline. And to see that go, and to see it now be a flat slab, is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like it goes with the rest of the lineup, but at the same time, like, you could always tell it's a MacBook Air because it's not shaped like the Pro. Like, even from the side, you could always be like, oh yeah, that's a MacBook Air over there. Now it's just like everything else. So if they're going for a more uniform lineup of Macs, then good job, Apple. But like you said, like, it was more comfortable for like typing and stuff, but also it just looked distinctly MacBook Air, and now this looks like a Mac Pro Mini
Yeah, MacBook Pro. Yeah, it's just.
or MacBook Pro Mini. Yeah,
Yeah, and. Yeah. I think it is an upgrade, although I am kind of sad to see that it is going to be more expensive than the previous model. And the previous model M1, like the regular M1 MacBook Air, is still going to be there.
Yeah. I can't say that I'm okay with it being more expensive, but I do understand why, because of inflation. We don't need to get political, but I also like, I get why it's more expensive. I wish it was cheaper, but at the same time, you know how Amazon is. Like, you can literally buy the M1 MacBook Air for like $200 less if it's like on a good sale. Most of the time, $100 less. So I'm not too worried about that because I know it'll get cheaper in the future. So like, this design isn't going to be like gatekept with like a higher price tag for very long. So whatever, like, to me it's whatever, because whenever we see new designs, it's usually more expensive than the last. Like the MacBook Pros, those were more expensive than the old ones. And I'm thinking more of like the iPhone 10, like that was more expensive, but then with the 10R and the 11, like, they made it cheaper. So I'm not too worried. I
Yeah.
just feel like I feel like the only reason they made this more expensive and they're keeping around the old one is so that they can phase out the old one by selling stock that's left, and then they'll get rid of it and replace the old MacBook Air with like a cheaper version of this one. So it'll be like the same design, but maybe a binned M2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We'll
I
see.
yeah, I just I do hope it gets cheaper. Because I think, what is it? $11.99? Is that the price for it? Or
Yeah, it
$12.99?
starts at $11.99, and I want to try speccing it out all the way. I haven't tried that yet,
I think
but
I saw something like it that it was going to be like $2,600, I
yeah,
believe.
let's see. I'm gonna try speccing it out.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how expensive is this gonna get? Because I always love doing that and then seeing like, okay, well, you could get a MacBook Pro for that price, or you could get a Mac Mini that's like way more powerful. Yeah, so you can actually get a bigger power adapter with it if you want, which I think is kind of dumb. Like, why do you need a bigger power adapter?
I think it charges faster.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of stupid for a laptop. Like, I feel like most people, if they have a computer, they charge it like overnight. I mean, if you use it every day, at least
Yeah,
that's what I do.
especially like computers. Although here's what I always keep my computer plugged in, like my laptops. I'm kind of anal like that, so like I have an obsession with keeping my stuff charged.
Yeah, no, I don't. Like, my iPad Pro that I'm using to look at the website, it's at 8%.
Yeah, you should probably plug that in.
I will, but I'm pretty sure I forgot my charger at work, so that's nice. Yep. Anyway, okay, so specced out, the MacBook Air is $2,499
Okay.
or $208.25 a month for 12 months.
Which is absurd.
So it's like buying AirPods every month for 12 months.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, and before we move on to the next thing, speaking of AirPods, I literally bought a new pair of AirPods because my Pros were making a weird clicking sound, and I wear them so often that, like, it's worth the extra battery. And holy crap, I felt kind of stupid, but then I was like, you know what, we're gonna buy them anyway, because the Apple employee, she told me, she was like, oh, well, you could still bring them in even if they're like not in warranty anymore. We can probably still replace them. I was like, are you serious? Because, I mean, I still bought these because I like the longer battery, but oh my God, I thought that, oh, it's out of warranty, I'm out of luck. But holy crap, like I would have brought them with me. Now I have to like go there again and bring my AirPods Pro.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's just annoying. Anyways, next thingy from the event is iOS 16. So what were your thoughts on it before I like sort of give an overview?
I mean, the lock screen is nice. I like the lock screen improvements, definitely. iOS has definitely been lacking in customization. That's like one thing that it's lagged behind with when it comes to Android. And I feel like iOS takes one step closer, just one step closer with this update and having the ability to customize your home screen in such a way, having the dynamic lock screens and like the astronomy one, for example, and the weather one, and being able to customize the date and time is really cool. And also the way the notifications kind of come up in the bottom is neat too.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. At first when I saw that before I had downloaded the beta, I have the beta on my iPhone now, on my iPhone 11 Pro Max, and it's great. But like at first I saw that, oh, okay. They just moved the notifications down so they could say, look, we redesigned it. Like, ooh, it's different. I thought it was like, oh, big deal, like whatever. But I actually love it. I love having everything down there because when I'm listening to something with my AirPods, I actually don't have to reach all the way up the screen. And that matters a lot more on the bigger iPhones, of course, but I think it just makes more sense. And it made me think, like, ever since I got the beta, I've been thinking, like, oh my God, how did I live without it being down here? How did I live without my notifications being down there? Like, it doesn't, I don't know, it just seems like something that I didn't think I needed, and now I love it and I can't go back.
Yeah.
Apple's really good at that.
But like my opinion of the other features, like other than the lock screen, I mean they're nice improvements, I guess, but they're like it's not something that I'd really care much about, except for the extra voices added to VoiceOver for those of you who use accessibility feature who use VoiceOver and are visually impaired to navigate your phones. The inclusion of more voices is always welcome, especially Eloquence, which is not my favorite voice, but is just really cool to have on the iPhone.
Yeah, I hate Eloquence, so I just laughed at it. I like played the voices and I laughed, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this now.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I might actually pick it because the Siri voice that I use right now for my phone is a bit buggy. And mispronounces some things, and it's kind of weird because it didn't have this issue. It didn't used to have this issue. So,
That's weird.
yeah, I'm hoping that if it'll get fixed in iOS 16. But if it doesn't, then I very much looking. I'm looking forward to my maybe using using Eloquence's new voice.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you've ever had this problem, but for some reason Siri will just randomly be like all muffled sounding and it like cuts in and out. It's really annoying. It's fixed in iOS 16 beta 1. And honestly, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, oh, they're doing all these design improvements. There's no way they're gonna fix that. Like, come on. But at the same time, it's like, how did that even happen? Like, literally, it was just an iOS 15 thing for me, anyways, where like Siri just started like freaking out. Like, for years we've had Siri. Like, it's never done that to me. And then all of a sudden iOS 15 like broke freaking Siri. And even on my HomePod, like HomePod operating system, whatever, I don't even know what they call it. I think it might just be called HomePod OS. It started like cutting out on that too. So I'm glad they fixed it in this. And it kind of made me want to get a beta version of HomePod OS, if that's even possible. But at the same time, I don't want to screw up my HomePod because my phone is already kind of glitchy with iOS 16, so we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. I was gonna say something. Hold on. Yeah, iOS 15 has been a buggy mess for me. I have a lot frequently have audio issues, not just with Siri, but just with consuming any kind of content that involves audio. So, like, sometimes VoiceOver will glitch, or sometimes I'll be watching a YouTube video and then suddenly it'll cut out, and then suddenly the audio will come back, but it'll be really quiet. It's not stable. And just iOS 15 has been just buggy all the way through. And
oh, yeah.
I'm hoping that Apple will use iOS 16 as an opportunity to clean it up, because iOS is definitely in need of some of that.
Oh, definitely. It's kind of a mess. I mean, I haven't had as many issues as with, like, iOS 11, but it's been a wild ride. I mean, I joined the beta program during iOS 15's awful release in the beginning because I wanted to get, like, the updates, and I was hoping for them to fix things faster if I got into the beta thing, and honestly, I think it kind of worked, because, like, they just things were just wrong with my phone. Like, when I got the first version of it in September, it was awful. Like, I loved the changes that they made, but it didn't seem worth it. I was just like, okay, I'm ready to go back now. And yeah, it was a mess. So I'm glad that some things seem to be better. I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah. Hopefully iOS 16 will be a bit of an improvement.
Mm-hmm. They definitely stressed a lot about iMessage during the event, and I'm so excited for the iMessage changes, but it bugs me so much that because I have the beta and, like, all of my friends, or at least most of my friends, don't, I can't really enjoy, like, the iMessage changes until everybody else gets it. So that's the thing, like, this update, it was a lot of lock screen and messages, and you can't really enjoy the messages portion of the update until most people get it, and that'll probably be like October or November by the time a lot of people update. So yeah, the only, like, iMessage change that you can enjoy now if you have the beta is the option to mark a message as read, and then you can, like, go in and read it later when you have time. And I love that, because there have been so many times where someone texts me and I'm like, can you actually remind me to read this, like, in 10 minutes or something? And they'll just, like, text me back, like, yeah, read it in 10 minutes, so that it shows unread, and then I won't forget about it. Because, oh my god, I read people's messages all the time and then forget. So this will be very helpful.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if the messages will really make that much of a difference in my personal life, but certainly a welcome improvement to iOS. And also the mail changes with the better search, because mail's search feature, I use the mail app a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And searching, especially for school stuff, because I had my school email hooked up. I would try to search for an email from a while ago. Like, for example, I used practice tracks to learn band stuff, and it would, and my teacher would send it to me via email, and I have to go back through my emails to try to find those practice tracks to learn from. And the search feature was a mess, because unless it was just right, it wouldn't show up.
Yep, I hate iOS search, like, in the nicest way. I hate it. Just not iOS search, mail search, because it just doesn't make sense. Like, nothing makes sense. I use Gmail on my iPad Pro literally because the search is better. With school especially, I end up searching things all the time. I'm like, oh, that document so-and-so sent me. Like, it gets buried in these lovely emails that keep popping up. So I end up searching stuff, and Gmail is so much better at that. And I think it's because they somehow integrate, like, their assistant, whatever they call it, Google Assistant, into the search engine. I don't know how it works. I never watch Google's fancy schmancy events, but I actually like that. Gmail is the one Google app that I like on iOS and iPadOS. So yeah, I just can't stand the mail app on iPad. I feel like it's like too far in between iOS and macOS. They should just literally port over the mail app from macOS and just make that the iPad version because it's so much better. And yet
Yeah.
the big iPad like that, I still feel like they should have done more with iPadOS after the event because the big iPad, I almost said 13 inch, 12.9 inch, it's still over here with like tons of extra screen space and it hasn't fully been unlocked.
Yeah, I think Stage Manager will hopefully help to remedy that. What are your thoughts on Stage Manager?
On the Mac, oh, that's I thought that
On
was
the
on the
no, it
Mac.
came to iPad too. iPad version.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like that's nice, but it literally seems like the current, like, I don't know what they call it, the shelf or whatever. It seems just like that, except it'll show multiple apps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really do have to use it to find out, and I'm too scared to put a beta version of iPadOS on my iPad because I really, really would hate to see this iPad like completely brick because of a beta. I use this iPad Pro for like YouTube video editing, podcast editing, schoolwork starts back up. So I just use it too heavily. I don't want to screw it up. My phone, I just figure, whatever, I'll live with it because I'm used to the iOS betas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too much. I don't want to risk it.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the new 13-inch MacBook Pro that was released?
They literally, okay, I kind of laughed when I was watching because they literally talked about it for like 2 seconds. They were like, and M2 is going to the 13-inch MacBook Pro. And I just awkwardly was like, yay, that's still there? Like, what?
Yeah, I watched a video, was it yesterday, about that, and like the guy was like very confused that like the guy said the MacBook Pro didn't really make sense because it was in this very awkward position where like it has none of the benefits of the it has like none of the benefits of the new MacBook Air when it comes to like the new speaker system, the new design, MagSafe, things like that. But if you, and it's not really that, it doesn't perform all that much better. But what is it? Then if you spec it up a little to make it more comparable, to make it like a higher end computer, then you run into a wall when it comes to the 14-inch MacBook Pro.
And it has a whole new design.
Which has a whole new design,
Better battery, a
better
nice
battery, and
display.
like it's
It has literally everything better. I mean, a larger display, better quality display, a more expansive keyboard, I'm sure, because I don't think the MacBook Pros, I've seen them in person at the Apple Store, the 14 and 16 inch, they look like they have full size, like iMac keyboards built into them. Like they're huge. And then the old, like 13 inch MacBook Pro design, that keyboard is a little bit more compact. So it's like you're getting like almost a desktop experience when you move over to those 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pros.
Yeah, and with the 13 inch, you're not even getting like you still have the touch bar, I'm pretty sure. And nobody uses the touch bar
Well,
anymore.
yeah, I've heard nightmare stories about it that make me think like, okay, when I get a Mac, I'm not getting this MacBook Pro. It doesn't even have a place in the lineup anymore, in my opinion, because they are clearly trying to kill the touch bar, right? And then it's like the MacBook Air, but it has better battery life. Like, it doesn't make any
It has
sense.
better battery life,
Pro.
but it has better battery life, better slightly better performance,
Yeah,
and
really.
then, but then the speakers are still old. The design is old. The you still have the same amount of memory. Like
Webcam is literally,
the webcam is still the old one.
I'm pretty sure it's worse than the MacBook Air webcam.
The
Like
new
the,
Mac, yeah, the new
yeah.
MacBook Air got an upgraded webcam.
Why Apple? Why is this still here?
Yeah, like
it doesn't make any sense because like if they were still selling the M1 version, then I'd be like, okay, maybe they're just trying to get rid of overstock. But literally, they are putting a new chip in it. That
you know what's hilarious though? So like the new MacBook Pro with the M1, the new 13-inch MacBook Pro with the M1 chip starts with the CPU, the version of the M2 with the 10-core GPU.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get the upgrade for the MacBook Air to get the 10-core GPU, it ends up being the same price as the MacBook Pro 13-inch.
Oh, wow.
They're both $1,300 because the base model of the MacBook Air, the 1199, only has an 8-core. So if you want to get the 10-core GPU, it ends up spiking up to the exact same price as the MacBook Pro, which at that point, why? Why would you go with the Pro?
Why? It doesn't make any sense. It's like, okay, Apple, I know you love that design, but just throw it in the graveyard along with the iMac Pro. Like, we know that's gone. So,
yeah.
Just stomp on our freaking dreams and hopes even more.
Yeah, the Mac, and especially the disgusting touch bar. That touch bar, I never had to deal with a computer with that.
Oh, yeah. Because I've never had a computer with it, so like I can't really speak from personal experience, but just imagining another display, it's like, okay, this is so unnecessary. It's another thing to go wrong. I look at it because I'm clumsy and think, oh my God, another piece of glass for me to shatter. And then just also thinking about the fact that like the MacBook, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to have another screen. Like the whole reason we still have physical keys on a keyboard for a laptop anyway, it's because we want to be able to type quicker, do things faster because we feel the keys. Like there's a reason why people get physical keyboards for iPads. So in the world are you trying to make it this hybrid little device? I don't get it.
No, and I personally love my physical function keys. I don't want them to be replaced by the stupid digital display.
Yeah. Especially if you can't see, because like sure VoiceOver would somehow like supposed to. I feel like they, knowing Apple, would try to put VoiceOver on it, but I know that display is a lower refresh rate, so I feel like that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, and my problem, it'd just be kind of weird because it acts as a regular function row most of the time, and apps haven't really been designed, like apps never really adopted using it for anything.
The only apps that did were like Final Cut and the Mail app, like all the Apple apps. So if you try Twitter, you're not really going to take advantage of it anyway.
Yeah, so like, why?
I mean, at that point, you might as well just make the Mac touchscreen. Like they already spaced things out with the release of Big Sur. Like they kind of like made things sort of more spread out.
iOS-esque.
Yeah, it literally looks like you should be able to touch the screen. That's what gets on my nerves with Macs. The new like versions, you know, they have so much more breathing room in between buttons and app icons and stuff. Yet it's not touchscreen. Like, please don't make it look touchscreen if it's not. It's just sad and disappointing and confusing.
Yeah, and also I know that one of the rumors was that the iPad Pros would get a like desktop, like a Mac OS type mode with iOS 16 or with iPad OS 16, and that never happened. So,
yeah. Oh my God. There's so much that they could have done with iPadOS 16. And I feel like this is a repeat of last year where it's just like, oh, yeah, here's a little nudge closer to a laptop experience, but still, no.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, I just think that it's stupid that they're not doing anything. Does it even get the lock screen improvements?
iPadOS? Okay. So I have an iPad 6th generation that I put the beta on because I don't rely on that iPad. And I don't think it has the lock screen improvements, which makes no sense to me. And literally, like, I had hope for iPadOS until I got the beta and realized that. And then I was like, fuck, this is just the worst thing ever. Also, don't stress that I just said a explicit word. This podcast, I changed it and it's marked as explicit now, so I can curse all I want. Fucking Apple, come on, you goddamn pieces of shit. Literally, like, I love Apple, don't get me wrong, but they did this literally 2 years ago with widgets. they were like, oh yeah, widgets on your home screen with iOS, and then, oh yeah, but that's not on the iPad. We're just not going to talk about that. It's just not there. And can they just stop doing this? How hard is it to freaking put the same features on iPadOS? They literally, when they introduced iPadOS and also when they did watchOS, they mentioned like, oh yeah, and there's a bunch of features that we just talked about in iOS that are coming to the iPad and coming to the watch. Like, just include the lock screen stuff for the iPad. Come on.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
They could let you have like bigger widgets on the iPad, and they could let you have more than just like what, four small ones or two big ones, like it is on the iPhone. It could be so much cooler on the iPad. Yet they're like, meh, no.
Yeah. I feel it's just iPad OS is kind of getting neglected, and it's not like the it seems like improvements are always like 1 year ahead of or 1 year behind iOS these days. I remember they both used to get update like improvements at the exact same time back in the iOS days, but ever since they kind of split them off into different things or rebranded the iPad version, it seems like it's just like they just kind of stopped caring about it. And it's a shame because the iPad is such an amazing device and can do a whole lot. It's just Apple limits it.
Yeah, and to be real, like I love my iPad even on iPadOS 15. Sure, there's a lot of stupid glitches that I get annoyed with, but at the same time, like I think it's a great device as is. I just feel like you said, they limit it. Like knowing that there could be so much more here makes me angry. Like I forget that my iPad even has an M1 chip half the time because you could do the same things with the iPads from what, the last release, like 18 months before whenever they released this one.
Yeah.
It's so pointless. It's like, okay, you put a nice chip in it and you flaunted that. You gave it a fancy screen that's mini LED. But why? Like
Yeah.
it just it's iPad Pro is that device that they put so much like hardware engineering into, and then they're like, meh, software, meh. Basically giant iPhone.
Yeah.
We've gotten past that. Like technology has gotten so much better. We shouldn't still be on the train of, oh yeah, all the iPads, giant iPhone.
Yeah, it's the time. Yeah, I believe that the time has passed for that too. And that also, I think, explains why they didn't discontinue su update support to that many iPads versus the iPhones they did, because they the only devices that they cut support for iPadOS 16 were the ones running the A8 chip, so the Mini 4 and the Air 2 and nothing else. But if you look at But like the iPad 6th gen and later still supported, all the iPad Pro models are. So they didn't cut support for many of them.
I was
But
surprised my iPad 6 still has
I
the
know.
ability to get betas. I was like, geez, they're allowing that? I
Yeah.
mean, most people probably aren't putting the beta on an iPad 6, but still, it's insane that I can even do that because the thing, I mean, to be fair, it's very glitchy, like almost unusable. But I don't know. It's like, come on, Apple, put in some effort finally. Like,
Yeah.
ugh.
And I mean, if even it's kind of interesting because the iPad 6 runs on the A9 chip and the iPad,
A10,
or is it the
A10
A10?
Fusion.
Oh, okay. I think the iPad 5th gen, I think, is still supported. So, and it
Yeah,
runs
because
the
that is an
A9.
A9X.
And it runs the, is it the, I thought it was just the 5th gen
I
just
think
runs
it's
the
the
A9.
A9X.
I thought it was just the A9. I know
Let
the
me
iPad
see. I'm
Pro.
gonna search it.
I know the first gen iPad Pros use the A9X. And that's still supported, which is interesting because the A10 and the A like if you look at regular iOS, devices running the A9 and A10 chip were
You're
discontinued.
right, it's the A9. I thought it was A9X because it was an iPad.
Yeah, no. But what I find interesting is that like the iPad 5 is supported, but the iPhone 6S is not, and the iPhone SE is not, and the iPhone 7 isn't. I think they just.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that because my mom, she for the longest time was using my old iPhone 7 Plus in gold, loved that color. And I mean, it was glitchy on what, iOS 14 or whatever it still has, because we haven't used it since like 14.5 or something like that. But I don't know. Like, I feel like sometimes Apple supports stuff for almost too long, because then it's like, okay, the thing's already glitchy. Updating it's just going to make it worse. Like, why are you even supporting it? And I think people love that they support stuff, and I'm not telling them they shouldn't. But I'm, like I said, I'm still like surprised by like some of these devices that they discontinued support for with iOS or iPadOS. Like, I forgot that they were still supported. I was like, that was supported until now? That's insane. It's like the iPod Touch being discontinued. I was like, wait, they still sold that? I thought they discontinued it like 2 years ago.
They still sold it until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
Seriously.
I don't know who bought that until what, 2 months or not months, 2 weeks ago or whatever. Like, oh God.
I don't know who bought that iPod Touch even like when it was released, because people back then were like, why?
Honestly, for the past 5 years at least, why would you buy an iPod Touch?
Yeah, especially because
Oh.
iPhones are, with iPhones, you don't have to have a SIM card to activate them anymore.
Yeah, it's just. I honestly, ever since the cheaper iPad, like the $300, $329, whatever it is, iPad, I don't understand why anyone would buy their kid an iPod Touch, because for literally $100 more, or 130, however much, I don't remember how much the iPod Touches were, but for a little more, I mean, not a little, to be real, I probably sound privileged as heck. Wait. I forgot. It's an explicit podcast. I probably sound privileged as fuck right now, but like, oh my God, just spending a little more. A little is a subjective term. I get it. Whatever. It doesn't make sense. You can get a way bigger screen for your kid. It'll actually have Touch ID. The camera is gonna be better. The battery life will be better. You'll be able to actually hold a FaceTime call on the thing without it dying halfway through. Like, I remember doing FaceTime on my iPod Touch fourth gen back in the day, and the thing would like barely last. And I don't think that's changed, because the device itself is still the same size generally. Like, they're tiny little devices. There's no way you can FaceTime on that thing for more than like 30 minutes without it dying.
Yeah, it's just I never understood it, and nobody really did when Apple released the spec bump I got in 20 was 2019.
Oh, yeah, I.
2019. And now
That
it's
was
not even
shit.
getting updates anymore.
Yeah, I don't get
Because
it.
it had, it ran an underclocked half, like it ran an underclocked A10. Underclocked.
Oh my God.
So, like, it was only a, like, the A10 chip was four cores. The version of the A10 in that stupid iPad Touch was only two cores. It was a dual core.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So,
At that point, the branding is basically all that's making it an A10.
yeah, and then they underclocked it on top of that. So, like, why?
No, I think they should revive the iPod Touch with an M1.
Oh my God.
An
Actually, I wonder what that would
M1.
look like. I would
And they
like.
could come out with Final Cut for iOS.
Oh my God.
But not for iPadOS, just
No.
iOS.
No, since Apple likes to be very exclusive with how they release the
Yes,
features.
I feel like that is something that they would do. Like, we're all asking for the iPad to get like Final Cut and Logic. No, they're gonna be like, we're bringing Final Cut to the iPhone, and
Or.
then we're all gonna be like, what
And then
the
a year
hell?
later it'll get, and then a year later the iPad will get it. Oh,
No, just for fun, it'll be like 2 years later.
yeah, and Xcode too.
Oh my God, yes, you can make apps on the iPhone.
But not the iPad.
No, the iPad, no.
It's not
What?
powerful.
What's iPad? What?
Yeah.
Who is that? Never heard of her. Anyway, we got like really sidetracked, but just going back to like some of the stuff that they talked about with iOS 16, it just makes me feel like they did lock screen stuff, which is great, but that's like the only notable thing, along with, okay, this I feel like was totally like brushed past. And I love it. There is a continuity with FaceTime thing that obviously this works on like all of their platforms, macOS, iPadOS, and iOS. And I used it earlier. Holy shit, I was blown away because it's just exactly what I thought I didn't need or never really thought about. But here they found something that I needed and I didn't even realize it. Literally, I have been doing this for years where I'll be like, oh yeah, can I like hang up? I'm gonna call you on my iPad. And then people are like, okay. But now you can just like, instead of making them answer a call coming from another device, now you can just say, hold on, I'm gonna switch to my iPad. And hopefully with more optimization via software, it'll be even faster and more seamless. But right now it takes like a few seconds to switch it over. But like, I can totally see a future where we can just be like, oh wait, let me switch to my iPad. Boom, you're on your iPad instead of your phone. And it's so cool. Like even now it's really cool because I don't have to, like I said, call on another device.
Yeah, that sounds convenient. Although I've never really had to do that, except for when my iPhone's microphone broke.
Yeah,
that was a terrible experience. That was not fun.
But which iPhone was that?
That was my 10R.
Good old 10R.
Yeah.
The 5C of 2018.
It was way more successful than the 5C was, though.
And it wasn't made of plastic, so good job, Apple.
Yeah. And I mean, the 10R's DNA still kind of lives on in,
mm-hmm.
in the newer, like, regular iPhones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of nice, but...
Yeah. Did you catch the CarPlay segment of the event?
I did. Cool, I guess.
It's so vague. That's my problem with it. It's literally like, why did you even talk about this? It's so vague.
Yeah, I would have thought that CarPlay could do most of those things already. Like, why?
Yeah, they're just filling gaps, really.
Yeah, like, it's just, I really didn't care much. And the same goes for watchOS 9. It just...
It literally just fills in gaps. Like, they shouldn't have even talked about it, in my opinion.
Yeah, watchOS 9 saw no... Apple kind of is continuing their thing of kind of ignoring the software when it comes to watchOS. Since watchOS 6, there really hasn't been much improvement.
Yeah, I feel like since watchOS 6... They shouldn't be talking about it at an event. It should be just like tvOS, and then they should put more of their effort into iPadOS, because literally they didn't even mention tvOS. Yes. I think they had like one demo where they were like talking about the home in general, and they were like, oh yeah, and like we can watch something on our Apple TV and then tell Siri to stop it on the HomePod or something like that, something small. But literally they didn't talk about it at all. And I remember, like, again, I forgot tvOS existed because they were talking about all the other operating systems. And then they said, like, oh, like, we're happy to introduce all of these changes to our most popular platforms. And then they have like pictures of their different devices, an iPad, Mac, iPhone. And then in the background, there's an Apple TV. And I was just like, huh, forgot about that. Wait, they didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't even really think of Apple TV or tvOS, which I guess kind of... It sort of demonstrates, though, how kind of irrelevant the Apple TV is. Like, mm-hmm. we have one in our house.
Yeah.
It was a fourth gen, I believe. And, like, there's just nothing notable about it. Most, like, smart TVs could do everything the Apple TV can. Like, it doesn't really have much of a market anymore. And
I feel like it could Chromecast be so much better. More,
yeah, and things like Chromecast or, what is the Amazon Fire Stick?
Yeah.
Can do all that the Apple TV can, and then
Vizio TVs have AirPlay built in, like a lot of them anyway. So
yeah,
and I feel like that's like an Apple Cast, like instead of Chromecast, it's exactly what you would need a little Apple TV dongle type of thing to do, but it's already built into a lot of TVs. So like, what's the point of Apple TV? It's literally $149 for a 1080p plastic box. Excuse me, that is an insult. It's not even 4K.
Yeah, and also the attempt to turn Apple TV into some form of like gaming device. What Apple did try to do was a complete failure.
Oh yeah.
Like, some games released, but then all the developers promptly started ignoring it, and even Minecraft was pulled from it because I remember it used to have Minecraft.
Yeah, I bought Minecraft like a dumbass, and it doesn't work. Literally, you can open it and like play the worlds that were there before. You can't make any new worlds. You can't play with friends. It's like useless. Because Minecraft isn't super fun if you're stuck in the same world that you had like 5 years ago and you can't play with friends. So, yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, it's just, why does Apple TV exist?
I don't know. What were your thoughts of macOS Ventura?
Again, it was all right. Like,
Yeah.
I didn't have many strong opinions on it. Like, there's no feature that was like, there's no feature that blew me away.
The one that blew me away, I don't know if you caught this, was the using your iPhone as a webcam thing being built in, because I know
Yeah.
that you can do that already, whatever, but it's nice that it's built in. But when they talked about the desk view, I was blown away, because did you catch that part?
I did, but I just kind
Yeah.
of saw it as a interesting gimmick,
I
because
was blown away because it looked amazing. It literally did look like a camera was overhead, like looking down at your desk. That was very surprising to me. I do want to see, though, in real life, like how it actually is,
or like, why
if
would
it's
you
that
do
good.
such a thing? Like,
Yeah,
why?
I mean, I kind of get why you're like, I don't know, why would you need that? But I could see like making that sort of making it easier to do like a quick unboxing video or something, or like if you're streaming an unboxing of something, that would be super easy to do that. I just
Yeah.
think cool. I was amazed that like software can enable something like that, because it looked literally like a camera was looking down at the disc. I thought it would be sort of like how with Center Stage, like on my iPad Pro, it'll be cool and like follow me around and that's neat, but you can tell like the webcam is totally at the wrong spot. It's on the left side of the iPad when it's in my Magic Keyboard case. Like, come on, Apple. That's so stupid. And the entire time you're using it, you can tell the camera is at a weird angle because it's like below where it should be. You can like see too much of like the bottom of my chin, and it's on the left side. So I thought it would sort of look like that, where it's like, okay, wait, like you can tell that the camera is awkwardly placed for that type of angle, but it didn't look like that. So we'll see. Again, it's something you have to try in person, but I did think that was cool because I've never seen an app do that.
Yeah, but again, for me, it just kind of seemed like a neat gimmick. It was a cool feature, don't get me wrong, but it was more of
Yeah.
a gimmick kind of thing. Like, I don't see myself using that to do anything, but like, it's kind of cool that it exists, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of forgot about like all the Mac features that are kind of neat, like that tie the whole ecosystem together, like not Center Stage, what's it called? Sidecar, where you can have like your iPad as a
Second display.
monitor.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, yeah, that exists. Huh. Cool." And yeah, that was about it. Like I don't know. It wasn't like you said, it was okay, like Mac OS. But I thought that was like honestly the only feature that I'm gonna remember, the whole like camera thing, because it doesn't look all that different. Like the main difference with this version of macOS to me, it just looks like the wallpaper and the what's it called? The thing that looks like the iPad shelf. What's that called? The not Mission Control. What's the
The name, something stage.
something or other stage? Yeah, like Windows Stage or
No, it was side stage, I think, or something.
side state, main
No,
state? I don't know.
no. I said it earlier. We said it earlier, and I just.
God, we did say it earlier. I feel so dumb. I'm trying to find it on the website. Continuity camera. Oh, stage manager.
Yes.
I thought that's so stupid. Like, who calls it the stage? Like, the desktop. It should be like desktop manager or something.
Yeah.
Like, stage manager. It's just like when they called the little like thing where the apps pop up at the bottom of your screen on the iPad. When they called that the shelf, I was like, why the heck are you calling it the shelf? Just call it like, I don't know, the task view or like multi-window view or like the window view or something, because that's literally what it is. Don't come up with these fancy names, please.
Well, Apple's very good at like at coming up with fancy names for things. Like, that's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. That's kind of what they do.
Did you know, like, I see these marketing images of iPadOS 16, and it's showing all of the app window support. It's showing all that on the larger iPad. Do you know if that's available on, like, smaller iPads, like the 6th iPad?
The 6th, what, the...
The window, like the resizable windows.
No idea. I hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah, because I didn't catch that part of the event because I was too impatient and I skipped through a bunch of stuff and I think I missed that. Also, I was like taking a shower while watching part of it because I needed to multitask to save time. And yeah, I honestly, I don't even know how to like engage the multi-window view. Otherwise, I would totally try it on my small 6th gen iPad.
Yeah, it's just like I just kind of felt like this whole event was very like underwhelming in
ways. I mean, I liked iOS 16. I didn't see that coming at all. Like, all that we heard about like before the event was like, oh, significant lock screen changes. And to be real, like, yeah, that's like the only thing. I mean, other than the messages stuff, which, like I said, we've got to still wait for. Nothing notable really happened. I was at least hoping for some icon changes. I saw a cool rumor that was like a revamped set of icons for when your phone goes into dark mode, which I feel like they should already have. Come on. Why are the icons so bright and why do they all have white in them when you're in dark mode? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, so they did do a redesign icon. They did redesign dark mode icon. They did. They do have a separate set of icons for dark mode now.
They do?
Do they? No, I'm asking you.
No, I don't think they do. That's what I mean. Oh. Like, they didn't do that. I was going to say, wait, what? Did I miss that?
I was a little confused.
Okay. No, I was saying, like, they didn't do that. That was, like, one of the rumors that I had seen, and I was like,
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. That's not coming. Like, I don't know. It just seems like they could have done that along with the lock screen stuff, and I would have been like, okay, this is a good update. But now I'm just kind of like, okay, great, lock screen. But, like, once you open your phone, it looks the same. That's the thing. It's like, okay, yeah, the lock screen is the first thing you see. But once you open it and start using it, the experience is exactly the same.
Yeah, there's really no, like, difference. There's no cool features. I think they did. Oh, yeah. There's one feature that I did notice. They're allowing you, or at least on the iPad, they're allowing you to change file extensions in files now, which should have been a feature years ago.
Yeah, literally. I have had to transfer files over to my computer so many times just to do that, to, like, change the format of the file. And it's such a small little thing. The iPad, literally any processor, like, on an iPhone, has been capable of doing that for years now. Like, literally, they should have had that on, like, iPhone and iPad, but...
I don't know if they're going to add it to the iPhone, but I know they're doing it for iPadOS.
Or, like, yeah, I doubt they'll do it for the iPhone, but I'm just saying, like, both devices have been more than powerful enough to do that for basically... Yeah,
you can do it on Android, I think.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't used Android in a long, long
time. Sure, you can do it on Android, and it's just stupid.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Ugh. I don't get it. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
But yeah, I'm just glad that they have somewhat put in more effort now. And I mean, at least with the iPad, we got the resizable windows. Like, I want to figure out how the heck to do that. I hope that it'll actually be useful. I could just see this being like one of those things where it's like, oh, they did it, but they didn't do it right, so it actually kind of sucks. Like, I just feel like that's how it's gonna end up, and I'm gonna hate it. But let's see. Like, maybe I'll like it actually a little bit more than I think I'm going to.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yep. So, any last thoughts, or is that about it?
Again, I just think that the event was sort of underwhelming. I was expecting a little bit more. And I was expecting more in the way of hardware, although I know that WWDC is not usually an event where they showcase new hardware. But yeah. CarPlay was underwhelming. WatchOS was underwhelming. The lock screens for iOS were was cool, but like, and some of the minor improvements were all right.
Yeah, I agree.
iPadOS is still a year behind, and macOS really didn't see much of a change. Continuity camera was kind of cool, and some of those camera features were neat. But I'm hoping that at the very, very least, what they don't make up in new features, they're making up with bug fixes, because iOS 15 has been a buggy mess, and I'm hoping that this gets fixed for iOS 16.
Yeah. One thing I didn't actually realize until now, I'm scrolling through the iPadOS page, they added display scaling so that when you connect it to an external monitor, it'll actually take up the whole monitor instead of still being in 4:3. So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction, so I'm not going to complain, but I still, like, it's another thing where it's like, okay, they are just filling in gaps where these gaps shouldn't have even been there to begin with.
Yeah.
And like, ooh, weather app on the iPad. Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, like, they should have had that like 10 years ago.
Exactly. It just doesn't
make sense. Are we going to have to wait another 10 years for a calculator?
Probably. You know, just give it some time. It's just a giant iPhone without the same stuff as an iPhone. So, yeah. Who cares? It's just an iPad. Who cares? Just throw it in the garbage at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like I said, there's welcome improvements, but I feel like iOS is the only good one. Like, it's the only OS from the event that I'm actually excited about, and I already have it. So I feel like I've started taking advantage of all of the things I could take advantage of for now. So now, like, I'm just waiting. Yeah. Waiting for iMessage to, you know, waiting for this update to really, like, take effect on other people's devices, you know, once it's out of beta, so that I can use the iMessage stuff, because right now we really can't. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just
it's disappointing. That's what it is, really.
It is. It really is disappointing. But again,
it could be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, the iPad could still be running iOS 11.
Yeah. I'm just hoping, again, that they take the opportunity to fix bugs in the software, because that is sorely needed.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully this update fills in gaps in both reliability and, you know, feature wise, but that's all we can really hope for. I mean, they are very vague. Like, just scrolling through the website, I'm realizing just how vague they are. At the bottom of both pages for iOS and iPadOS, it says, and so much more. It shows like some screenshots of the same things that they showed screenshots of earlier. And then it has a bunch of app icons and like very vague paragraphs, like handoff in FaceTime. Easily switch between devices during a FaceTime call without missing anything. First of all, that's a lie, because I missed a few seconds in between switching. But it's just, I don't know. It's like they say, and so much more, but there's like, what, 10 paragraphs? And they're very, very small, vague paragraphs. Like, I just kind of laugh at it. Like, they definitely try to overmarket the updates. And I think it's great that they even put in the effort to give these updates to people, but still, like, we are used to so much more, and we're not getting the same level of effort as before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, again, it's kind of not a disappointment, but I'm just hoping, it kind of is a disappointment. I'm just, again, crossing my fingers, and I hope they fix the issues that were in that.
Yep. Well, thank you for joining me for this episode where we basically crapped on Apple for doing almost nothing to iPadOS.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, then please rate this podcast 5 stars or do whatever else the platform you're currently listening to it on tells you to do. Also, follow or subscribe to the podcast. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I hope you all have an excellent day. Take care.
Take care,
Bye-bye.
everybody.